This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. On today's show, our time machine gets stuck in the mid-20th century. We get a special visit from Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. Their record is brand new, but their sound is pure 1960s soul. And today, 50 years after a Soviet satellite propelled us into the space age, we'll look into why Sputnik still matters. But first, cool nights and crisp apples are swell, but we all know the really exciting thing about fall is the shiny new primetime TV lineup. This year, more than 40 new shows are premiering. Like all fashions, TV goes through cycles, and we seem to be into a fantasy phase.
Everyone says they're open-minded. Everyone tries to accept people who are different from them. But the truth is, people don't react well when they find out that you're undead.
Vampires, time travel, fembots, devils, ghosts, secret superpowers. I don't think I've seen this much fantasy in primetime TV since Tattoo pointed out the plane. So I asked playwright and screenwriter Paul Rudnick to stop by to chat about it. Welcome back to Studio 360.
Thank you so much for having me.
So before we talk, let's listen to a clip from Chuck, which is on NBC. Chuck is kind of a sweet slacker who works at a big box store. And in the first episode, he goes through some pretty intense changes.
Look, something is wrong with me, okay? I don't know what it is, but something is very, very wrong with me, and I'm remembering things that I shouldn't know.
Okay, Chuck, talk to me. Like what?
I don't know. For example, there was a Serbian demolitions expert at the Large Mart today. That's kind of odd, wouldn't you say? Look, last week, the NSA, you guys intercepted some blueprints. Blueprints of a hotel. That hotel. And then the CIA, you guys found a file of schematics of a bomb in Prague. The bomb is in that hotel.
Wait a minute. You're telling me all of our secrets are in his head.
Chuck is the computer.
That's the show.
Well, these shows, I think, rival only medical shows in the amount of clunky exposition required. That, as you could hear in that clip, the characters constantly have to say things like, tell me more. You don't mean to say that. Oh, my God, he is the computer? You know, just in case there are dead people who missed the first episode.
But that was, to be fair, the first episode.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, are you of the right age to have watched the original Bionic Woman, which, of course, was a sequel to The $6 Million Man back in the day?
Yes. And in fact, on YouTube, I noticed the other day they have one of the most popular episodes from the original Bionic Woman involved the fembots, who were some of my favorite creatures because they were gorgeous, 8-foot-tall Las Vegas showgirls who were, of course, secretly killer cyborgs.
You're a match for us, Summers. And we're not going to hurt you. Please come with us.
Increase power on the fembots.
Give up quietly, Summers.
And so the phrase fembot came from the original?
Yes, it did. We owe the Bionic Woman the fembot.
Let's listen to a clip from the new remake of that series.
Okay, Jamie, I need to tell you something.
What's happening to me?
I need to tell you about what I do, and you need to listen to me. Listen to me, Jamie. Both your legs and your arm had to be replaced. Also, your right ear and right eye. Molecular machines, anthracites, have been substituted for 1/8 of your blood cells. They're making you better.
That's the new Bionic Woman. A lot of screaming and a lot of exposition.
Although, you know something? My mom just had a knee replacement. And I visited her at the rehab center where there were people who were getting new hips, new knees, new everything. So I thought if you were actually creating a bionic creature, it should be an 83-year-old Jewish woman. You know, that's somebody who's far more likely to be made up of some revolutionary spare parts.
You're giving your series ideas away here.
No, God, I would mix that Golden Girls demographic with the killer nerds. But it's funny that the bionic creatures are always remarkably young and healthy to begin with.
Though in this new phenom, there is a noticeable absence of a certain kind of fantasy that has had its heyday recently with The Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and all of the wizards and orcs and elves. Is it just too expensive on television to do that kind of thing week after week?
Yeah, I think there are genuine budgetary problems with buying that much cheap velvet and wimples. But there is another sort of subset, though, of the fantasy genre, which is like in Journeyman, which is a new show, which is the more earnest sort of 30-something tell-me-that-you-love-me format.
About the guy who time travels and he doesn't know quite why he has been enabled.
Yes, but it somehow involves him reexamining his marriage and his relationship with his brother and his own moral precept. So it's odd because it pretends to actually have real gravity to it, and it's really fun to watch. And even when he's back in time and he could sleep with the gorgeous dead fiancée, he remains faithful to the living wife. I do think that's a very fine moral point.
Exactly. The rules have clearly been changed, probably that one among them.
Exactly.
Let's listen to a clip from Journeyman.
Where have you been, Dan?
I don't know.
You don't know because...
All I remember is going to bed last night and having this long, vivid dream. I saved this guy's life, knew something, and then I woke up.
So you're saying this is some sleep disorder?
I don't know what else it can be, unless I was drunk. Something's happening to me, Katie, and I can't explain it. Like the other night, I fell asleep in one cab and woke up in another.
Maybe you should go see Dr. Pollan in the morning.
Yeah, I will.
Unless you're hanging out with Eddie again.
No.
You can tell me
the
truth, Dan.
I have been here.
Here?
Here, in this house, in this city.
No, you've been gone for 2 days.
That's Journeyman, the time travel fantasy. And they, so far anyway, that they've made it so he can't travel very far back in time. I mean, I would be interested in going to 1630 or 1910, but I guess that would be expensive to produce that with any degree of verisimilitude.
Although, actually, Journeyman had a kind of HGTV extreme makeover angle, which I really enjoyed, which was that this family, I guess the guy is a reporter of some sort, live in this gorgeous San Francisco kind of mini mansion. And you get to see it at various times in its rehab. So he goes back and it's a wreck. It's a fixer-upper. And then you see it now where it's a stunning sort of loft-like space. And that is much more involving and even gripping, where you think, oh my God.
Those are the touching memories.
How did
Fixing
they afford
up
the
house.
Kitchen? Why did they pick granite?
Well, in that case, in the case of Journeyman too, since we don't know yet, but there have been suggestions that there's some overriding conspiracy, government, godlike intelligence at work here, to add to the sort of dramatic seriousness and the sense of mystery. I was reminded of Lost and X-Files and Heroes.
I was reminded a bit more of the old Patty Duke show, because there are scenes in Journeyman where he goes back in time and he's actually existing in both realities. So he could conceivably talk to himself.
You are a playwright and screenwriter of many fine works of theater and films. Are you ever tempted to kind of go over the top into one of these sort of fantasy modes?
Sometimes. I think it's a genuine gift that I utterly lack. Sometimes it can feel a bit like cheating, where you think, oh, okay, what if he could levitate at this point? What if he could, you know, shut his eyes and suddenly be on an entirely different island? You have to be really good at it. I think that Lost is a wonderful show. I mean, it's extraordinary the way they've sustained that premise and the fact that it began with a very realistic plane crash and there was a real sense of physical danger. And a lot of the fantasy shows are just that, that they are very cosseted, that they're danger for people who don't really like to leave the basement. And the superpowers usually involve things that will constantly save you. So I think we do like to live in a nice kind of post 9/11 cocoon to a certain extent, where everything will somehow work out.
Paul Rudnick, thanks very much for coming in today to talk about the new TV season.
My pleasure.